Hello, one and all. Back again. It's been a little while. I'm starting to find my way with my new work, my new job. I've started assessing people as a nurse for their disability allowances. So that's certainly an interesting change of direction and career, and kind of frustrating not being able to offer people advice who are clearly struggling. But there we go. That's how it goes. I am still seeing some people. So if you are looking for some assistance with your pains and discomforts and you're wanting to move better, do feel free to drop me a line still. I'm still seeing people online and in person. And yeah, anyway, back with the podcast. First time re releasing one for a fair while now. Just as I say, life's been busy. And it's a repeat offender. We're back with Adam, who, if you have been listening since day one, he was my fourth guest, Adam Blake. He is the bass player in one of my kind of childhood favorite bands, H2O. You hear us kind of mention about jumping around off stages and stuff. So hopefully I'm going to get to go and see him when they rearrange their gigs. But anyway, on the side of being a bassist in a hardcore band, he's also a PT. Works with people, helping them get fit and to lose weight. He's done a whole bunch of study in nutrition. So I've had him on to talk a little bit about nutrition. So hopefully this will be interesting. Hopefully you'll find some kind of useful takeaways of simple things that maybe you can begin to look at for your own diet, your own lifestyle, as ways that might help you if you are trying to change your kind of figure or your weight or your appearance, whatever it is that you feel like you're needing to do. It can be a bit of a journey, and hopefully some of the bits that we discuss here might be useful. So yeah, enjoy it. I've got a couple more lined up already, which I'm going to be preparing and getting ready for you. And if you've got any suggestions of who you'd like me to talk to, drop them in the box, and I'll see who I can get hold of. I've got a few more lined up that I would like to try and talk to. So, yeah, I'll let you know who they are and what they're going to be talking about when I get them sorted. In the meantime, have a great, what day is it? It's Tuesday today. This will probably go out tomorrow on the Wednesday. Have a great week, and I'll catch you all very soon. Yeah, man, of course. Cool. Well, let's just kind of carry this on into a conversation. So we'll talk like basically a whole bunch of nutrition and some fitnessy stuff to go with it as well, I reckon. But like, I haven't had anyone talk nutrition at all yet, and it'd be just really, like you said in the message, like fat loss, I think would be like, let's try and make fat loss fucking simple, because I know loads of people who are, mostly women who are just like, I want to lose weight, but I can't fucking lose weight. I don't know how to lose weight. So I kind of really want to break it down and make it as simple as possible for them.
So fat loss is tricky because it's extremely individual, right? There's certain principles that are overarching and apply to everybody. The application of those principles is really going to come down to the individual because we're all our own little unique snowflake, right? We
Aren't
all live
we?
very different lives. We all have very different relationships with food. For some people, food is an emotional coping mechanism. For others, it's a source, it's a source of community and connection with family members. For other people, like people that are obsessed with exercise, it might just be seen as fuel. And you have to incorporate all these things into a fat loss plan. How does someone eat? Obviously, naturally, like in their regular lives. And what is the least amount of change you can make to that to get them the greatest results? And then training rise, it's really all about supporting muscle because the long game isn't weight loss. The long game is fat loss, right? And these are two very different things, right? As a culture, we've sort of become obsessed with the scale. We have this goal of wanting to see that number come down no matter what we have to do to make it happen. And the truth is, the scale is one of many different metrics that you can be tracking when you're trying to change your body. And because if you lose 20 pounds, right? Or you guys are kilos, right? I'll make it simple. You use 10 kilos.
Yeah.
5 kilos of that is muscle. 5 kilos of that is fat. You're going to look exactly the same, just a little bit smaller. And your metabolism is actually going to have slowed down. Whereas if you lost that same 10 kilos, 2 kilos of that was muscle, 8 kilos of that was fat, you're going to look completely different. You're going to be more defined, and your metabolic rate is going to be higher. So you're going to have an easier time maintaining the weight that you've lost.
Yeah, right? Man.
So the focus on losing fat, not losing weight.
And I think this is, this is really where I want to kind of, I guess, dive into stuff. Before we go, because I'm going to leave that there, but just in case, I will put an intro at the beginning. I'm sure most of you will recognize Adam's voice. Adam's back again. Adam was number 4, episode 4, back in the day, 3 years ago or something. And we chatted all things hardcore, Hare Krishna, fitness, etc. But I've called him back on because if you don't follow him on Instagram, you should. And he'll quite often be talking nutrition. And now I know he's done a whole bunch of, obviously, the standard nutrition stuff you get in your PT and that side of things, but also done some study under Lane Norton's work. And Lane Norton, if you don't know him, is probably one of the most knowledgeable nutritional guys kicking around. So, Adam, welcome back. And thank you for that beautiful introduction into fat and weight loss and what we're trying to achieve. As we've kind of pointed out, like, I'm kind of aiming this mostly at women, but it's obviously not mostly, it's not always women, but women do worry about their weight, let's say their weight, more than men do. But actually, as you were pointing out, what we really want to be looking at is probably appearance, and actually not necessarily appearance, but women probably are thinking more about their appearance than their weight subconsciously, even though they look at a scale and think, I need to get that down to be the appearance I need. It's probably not actually the weight, which is the issue.
Well, there's quite a lot to unpack there, right? Like women are definitely under a certain societal pressure to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? And it's unfair.
Yeah.
It's actually really fucked up, because you can be healthy, which I personally value so much higher than appearance.
Yeah.
You can be healthy and not look like the cover of a magazine.
Yeah.
So when I talk about fat loss, I'm very much focused on trying to help people get down to what is healthy.
I love that.
Before we have the conversation about chasing a specific aesthetic, right?
Yeah,
and I
man.
Understand, like everybody else, like, I've got that shallow part of me that wants to look a certain way, and people go, yeah, wow, that's great, right? We all have that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, health is the most important thing, right? And that's where sort of the inner game comes into play, right? Like, you have to accept what you're willing to go through to change your body. Most people can get healthy without much suffering. They just need a simple plan that they can apply over the long term, and they'll get down to being healthy, and there'll be aesthetic changes. You'll look different. If you want to start comparing yourself to the cover of a magazine, you're going to have to go through some shit to make that happen. And for most people, it's not worth pursuing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of, I guess it's one of those things of when you do, and even people who end up thinking that they want to lose weight, I'm going to keep saying lose weight, because that's probably,
I mean, that's the common vernacular,
let's,
right?
Exactly. Let's just go with lose weight. And then they go to the gym and then they'll see people who are like just smashing it, and it kind of puts them off. And they kind of go, well, I can't do that, so therefore there's no point. But, you know, as is, you know, there's the old saying of abs are made in the kitchen, I guess. And, you know, when I'm working with people, trying to get across the importance of actually what they're eating being a bigger part, even though there's definitely, obviously, the importance of strength training and of working out, etc., but trying to get across the importance of actually, let's do some basics of nutrition first and try and get some of this dialed, and you'll actually begin to see changes kind of almost without having to go and do the other bits.
Yeah, I would say the most important, and this is most overlooked and most important aspect of successful fat loss is sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put that above diet and exercise.
Okay, can we go into a little bit on why before we get into the nutrition?
Because if you don't sleep, right, and anyone that's had a bad night's sleep know this, right? If you have a bad night's sleep, the next day you're going to eat like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have food cravings. You're going to want quick sources of energy. You're going to want candy bars. You're going to want fucking Monster Munch, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You're going to want to eat the crap and give yourself quick fuel.
Yeah.
So if that pattern becomes chronic and you're not getting good sleep on a nightly basis, you're going to almost certainly gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to compromise your workout recovery, right? Because you get stronger and your body changes after the workout, not during the workout. And a huge portion of that is sleep. So before tackling diet and exercise, and diet and exercise could be tools to help you sleep better,
mm-hmm.
it's important to kind of mentally focus on, look, I need to start getting good quality sleep on a nightly basis, because then you're going to set yourself up for success. If not, everything else you do, diet and exercise, is almost destined to fail from the very start.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like that. I actually heard, I was listening to Sam Harris's podcast this week, and he's got Peter Attia on there, who has written that book, Outlive. Yeah. If no one's heard it yet. Yeah, it's really good. And he was mentioning on there about sleep as well, as far as you could eat exactly the same thing from one day to the next. And one day you get a really good night's sleep, and basically your insulin sensitive, and the way you, I'm going to balls it up, but basically the way you digest and then consume the nutrients within that will be different to eating exactly the same things at exactly the same time. You get a really shitty night's sleep, and then actually it isn't exactly the same, because when you get the really shitty night's sleep, you're not actually going to be getting the same from the food as you would on the other night.
So the body fat loss is, it's complicated. It's complex. Mm. One factor influences another factor, which is why I said, like, diet and exercise can actually help you with sleep, and sleep can help you with diet and exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all one big connected system, right? And you know,
the joy of the body.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about it is, like, the basic principles of being healthy, optimizing your hormones, and fat loss are all the same, right? Yep. If you do these certain things, you get to tick all the boxes and get all the good stuff, yep. Right? But if you omit any one or all of them, then everything goes down. You gain weight, your hormones start to tank, and mm-hmm. you know, you start experiencing all the symptoms of ill health and aging.
Yeah.
So it's important to zoom out and look at the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, from my perspective, and you can maybe fill in any ideas as well, but obviously when I'm working with people from sleep-wise, just FYI, guys, if you're trying to get better sleep, tape your mouth shut at night. That's one of my big rules, because you will nose breathe more. So that's one of my big ones. Obviously, try and get a decent level of hours of sleep. Blackout blinds, if you can get them. Nice, cool bedroom. Like, you can find a million, like, plants. Plants are apparently really good to clear the air and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, some of that stuff just to help you on your way to a good night's sleep, which will hopefully then mean that food and exercise can be slightly more profitable for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's things like something simple as, like, go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Stop drinking caffeine 12 hours before you're going to bed.
And alcohol.
And alcohol. Yes. Stop drinking alcohol, you know.
Because that one's definitely one.
Yeah. And then there's a certain amount of, you know, of this idea of having like a nighttime ritual, right? Like, you know, like, give yourself, you know, 15 to 30 minutes at the end of the night to decompress, you know, maybe journaling. I really like stretching. I find, like, doing some stretching right before bed really calms me down and makes me relaxed.
Yeah.
Do some simple breathing exercises. Like, sleep is important enough that it's worth investing a few minutes to set yourself up for the best quality sleep possible. Because when you get a good night's sleep, you're just a better version of you.
Definitely.
You're, like, people are looking for the answer in a pill, a supplement, like a secret hack. Go to get enough sleep. Like, that'll fix like 90%. A lot of your food cravings will disappear. You'll be much more energetic. You'll almost feel compelled to exercise because you have so much energy. Like, get a good night's sleep for a week. If you haven't been doing that, your fucking life will change. You'll be like,
Totally.
what the fuck happened? Like, I feel amazing now.
And try and put these things. This is one of the big things that I've kind of been trying to do recently. I've kind of come off social media, apart from to message you for this. Like, I've come off social media at the moment, and it's making such a big difference to me not being on my phone up until I go to up until up I you know until I'm on until I go to bed. So obviously most people aren't going to come off social media, but just half an hour before you go to bed, just like put your phone in another room or something, and don't have it by your bed is a such a
Yeah.
great way to get a better night's sleep.
Give yourself 15 minutes before you lay your head down to just do something that's going to help you relax, right? If all of social media is getting you jazzed up, and I think it does for everybody, don't do it. Stretch, foam roll, do some breath work, put on some music, read an old school paper book. Remember those? They're
Yeah, man.
fantastic.
They're the best.
Yeah, and just relax and ease into sleep, and good things will happen almost inevitably.
Good. So that's our starting point. Let's get some good sleep in us to help set us up for
Everything
bet.
starts with sleep.
Cool. So we will get into a little bit of exercise and physical working maybe later on, but most people I think get horrendously confused about if you start wanting to lose weight or something, then everyone suddenly starts talking what sorting out your macros, sorting out this and that, and what am I going to eat, and how do I get what I need, the nutrients, et cetera, et cetera. From your perspective, like, where should people start with this? Like, fats, carbs, proteins, there are three main
Yeah.
macros.
So the most important thing for fat loss and weight loss is eating fewer calories than you burn, right? Now you can approach that from two different angles. You could eat less and you can move more, right? And ideally a good plan will have a dash of both. And how you do that, as far as the eating less goes, is where that individualized component comes in. Because honestly, and I hate to do this because I wish I could tell you that there's one right answer, and if you all do this, right, it's going to be great. It's different for everybody, right? You could restrict time. Like, that's my favorite. I like intermittent fasting. So that's why I'm able to eat fewer calories, is I just eat my calories in a shorter period of time. You could omit certain food types. You could go one plant-based, you could go carnivore. Obviously, two complete opposites, but if you lose weight on either of those plans, it's for the same reason, because you're eating fewer calories than you burn. And you could reduce a specific macronutrient, low carb, low fat, to make it happen. You could be a flexible dieter. So it's really on you to figure out which one of those works best. Now, my favorite of all is a flexible dieting approach, where you're tracking, because it allows you the greatest amount of freedom.
Okay, so when you say tracking, obviously we're saying calories in, calories out. That's our big thing. So when you're saying flexible diet, you're saying keeping an eye on what you're eating as far as your caloric intake. And so then some days you have more, some days you have
Well,
less.
once again, it can be as simple or as complicated as you like. The simplest is you have a caloric budget, much like you might have a financial budget, and you have to remain within that budget. Now, where you spend those calories is up to you. Best practices would be that you spend those calories on healthy, natural sources of food. And the reason for that is those foods come preloaded with a lot of good nutrition, and they're also going to help you stay full longer, right? Because dieting is ultimately a battle against hunger, right? You want to be able to lose weight with the least amount of suffering. And if you're eating like eat 4 cups of veggies as an example, you will not be hungry and you will have barely eaten any calories, right?
And I
So
guess it's the same as if you eat like a chunk of steak, let's say, then again, you'll probably end up feeling like, I mean, I had 250, 300 grams of ground beef the other day for lunch. and I literally almost couldn't move afterwards. Do you know what I mean? And and not huge amounts of calories, probably, I don't know, 300-400, I guess.
So I'll make this a simple, I'll give a really simple plan, right, that anyone can apply when it comes to diet, right? Take your goal weight.
Yeah.
What weight you want to be, times it by 12, right? That can be the amount of calories that you consume.
So goal weight.
That, yeah, goal weight times 12. And by the way, that everything I'm telling you is subject to change based on what your body does, right? If, if you're not losing weight on that, then great, it works. If you don't, you might have to bring that number down. Everything, everything in weight loss and diet is a scientifically supported best guess. Right? That's what anyone can give you, unless you're going to go live in a laboratory for a week and they're, you know, they're going to run tests on you all the time. All this is principle-based best guesses.
Yeah, and trial and error.
A certain amount of ownership and control of the situation, and respond to what your body tells you. And then the second most important thing to focus on is protein, right?
Cool. Okay.
And if all you do is focus on eating that number of calories and eating about 0.7 grams per pound of body weight on the low end. So I know you guys
are 1.5 per kilo or something ish.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So it's not a ton of protein, right? That's going to support your muscle while you're losing weight. You'll be good.
And on that, I just want to, like, I know this because I've had some people say that seems like a lot of protein when they've been told previously that, like, they only need to eat like 0.5 per kilo or whatever, which is obviously the RDA, but is criminally under.
Here's where that confusion comes from, right? Like, before dieting is artificial. This idea of trying to lose fat, trying to lose weight, is artificial and runs contrary to just about everything we're genetically programmed to do, right? We are genetically programmed for most of human history to alternate between periods of famine where we have no food and periods of abundance where we have lots of food. And we have this amazing mechanism in our body when we are in one of those periods where we have lots of food to eat food more than we need and store those calories for when we hit the famine.
Yeah.
And that mechanism is called fat gain, right? So fat gain is actually your body doing what has kept you alive for most of your human history.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So the problem is we don't have periods of famine.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time we have to artificially create it, right, in order to lose weight, because now we're storing so many extra calories that it's flipping around and it's no longer healthy.
Yeah.
And we have to do some things that are a little bit artificial to do that in a way that is healthy. And one of those reasons is to increase your protein to a higher level than you may think. If you're not on a diet, you don't need to eat that much protein because your body's not stripping muscle.
Yeah.
Your body's holding onto muscle. That RDA is probably pretty good if you're not trying to lose fat. You don't need to worry about it too much. But if you're trying to lose fat and you want to support the muscle, and you should support the muscle, you need to bring your protein up to what might seem like a high level.
So on that then, sorry, just in case people listen to this and then I know we're talking fat loss or weight loss, whatever, but if someone's listening to this going, yeah, but I'm not trying to lose weight, but I'm trying to like pack on muscle, that's also a good time that you should be up in that, like, even if you're not dieting, but you're kind of changing your diet.
Funnily enough, you actually need more protein when you're trying to lose fat than when you're trying to gain muscle.
Okay, that's interesting.
It seems weird, but because you have to think about it, when you're on a diet, right, you're not getting the energy you need from food. So your body has to tap into those reserves of calories. And the two places it can go are your stored body fat or your muscle. So your body essentially is catabolic. It's breaking down tissues to feed itself.
Yeah.
And it's going to go to muscle first. Right.
Right. Okay.
So you really have to work hard to protect that muscle. The two ways you can do that is by strength training and getting enough protein. When you're trying to gain muscle, it's a much slower process, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to take your body a lot more time to do it. And it can only build a certain, assuming we're talking about drug-free people, right? People
that aren't on.
It can only build a certain amount of muscle it per unit of time. And that's slow compared to fat loss. Like your body could strip tons of muscle and tons of fat in like a week. Like you could lose a lot of muscle mass in a week if you do the wrong things, right? But you're not going to gain a ton of muscle mass in a week. It is blatantly slow compared to fat loss. So you don't need to eat a ton of protein. You need to eat more protein than if you're just trying to maintain, but not as much as you.
Not as much. Okay, that's cool. That's good to know. Yeah. Nice. So, if we're talking, so I guess the biggest problem that so many people, as you kind of alluded to a little bit, see on social media, because this is where most people are trying to figure out how to lose weight and stuff, is there's so many people talking about so many different ways to get your nutrients in. And obviously, if we're looking at protein, I'm not, I'm literally, I just about everything me because I'm not exactly the most, well, I am healthy, but I do love a white chocolate blondie. But, you've got Paul Saladino and Sean, whatever his name is, pushing the carnivore thing, constantly making you feel like if you eat any vegetables, you're going to die. And then you've got the vegans telling you the opposite. And then somewhere, and it's trying to find that middle ground. So if someone is trying to get, what did you say, 0.7 grams of protein per pound, let's say, what does, like, whether or not you can give examples of that roughly? Because I think when I first started looking at this, I was a bit surprised at how I was actually nowhere near hitting like a regular protein thing. And, one of the things I've realized from upping my protein is and as you've kind of said, is that satiety side of things is like, I know the protein hypothesis or whatever is like a hypothesis or whatever else, but it seems that like it's definitely the most satiating of the macronutrients. So if you do get that up, as you've said, the calories in should hopefully be less purely through eating more protein.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, so protein's sort of a superfood when you're trying to lose fat, right? There's a thing called the thermic effect of food. And basically what that means is anytime you eat something, there's a tax your body exerts on it to digest it, right? Mm-hmm. You pitch your body energy to break it down into a form in which it can be used, right? For protein, that's going to be somewhere between 20 and 30%, right? So you eat 100 grams of protein, 20 or 30 of those grams are going to be burned up just in the process of digesting the protein, right? So it's sort of like, for want of a better term, it's sort of like a freebie, right? Free calories you can
do. Yeah, yeah.
Which is why if you eat meat, you've experienced the meat sweats.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because your metabolic rate goes so high when you eat a lot of meat. Carbohydrates is maybe 10% and fat it's like 0 to 3%. So you barely use any calories when you're consuming those foods. So protein drives your metabolism higher,
yeah, right?
Is really helpful. Now, as far as how to get protein, once again, when we're talking about a diet, we're talking about an artificially created starvation type of situation, right? Artificially created situations are often best helped with artificially created solutions. So I recommend almost all my clients to use protein shakes.
Cool.
It's nice. Just by far the easiest way to get it done, right?
I've taken that up, definitely.
Yeah. Especially because you're trying to dance that balance between getting enough protein, but not going over your over your calories.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Those are the only two numbers you need to worry about. If you have your calories dialed in and you have your protein dialed in, you can basically eat carbohydrates and fat however you like, which is why I like flexible dieting so much. Because if you're tracking those two numbers, right, using an app, tracking calories and you're tracking protein, you get to be pretty, pretty flexible with the foods you use to make those happen, especially if you're using protein shakes.
Yeah.
You can still eat the foods you enjoy. You don't feel super restricted. You can have that, what'd you say, like a white chocolate blondie? Was that was your treat, right? You can
Oh,
have
yeah.
the white chocolate so long as it fits into your budget.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to feel like you're living in this prison of diet.
I think that's probably one of the big things that, like, you know, you've got Weight Watchers or WW, whatever they're called, like Slimming World. You've got all these things, which is almost like I've spent a lot of time listening to people like Martin McDonald or like Lane Norton and all these people who, you know, and I've kind of picked up a whole bunch, but the negative mindset around so much of these other like dieting culture things of like, you can't eat this, it's a sin. And it's kind of like, it makes you feel like a piece of shit for wanting to eat something which, you know, and again, I guess if you look at the vegans or the carnivores or people on the extreme ends of things, again, they kind of, you know, Paul Saladino is very good at telling you in that, I don't know, Rice Krispies are going to be like the death of your kidneys or something like that. And, it's just that scaremongering is crap. And actually, as you say, if you can get those two numbers dialed and as you say, so with protein shakes, do you, you know, from your perspective, is that like a once a day thing? Like, just do you hit it as a couple of times?
Once again, it depends on the individual. Like, for most people, I think starting the day with a protein shake is probably the least invasive way to do it. Like, just, you know, protein, water, shake it, knock it back, you know, try and get, you know, 30 to 50 grams that's money in the bank, you know?
Because again, if you're probably looking at, what did we say? Let's say a rough estimate of like 150 to probably 200 grams of protein a day if you're on a like a higher end of that number.
Depending on your body size. It could be like... I think I am like in the ones. I'm 210 pounds, and I'm in the 170 to 180 range.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're getting 50 grams first thing in the morning without having to do anything, that's a fairly good starting place.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, like there's not really much of a downside to going above that 0.7 grams per pound. But you don't need to. Like for me, I always skew people towards the lower end of the spectrum for the reasons that you were talking about earlier. It's actually quite difficult to get that amount of protein. And if I tell people to do 1 gram per pound of body weight and they start to fail, then they start to feel like failures and they're likely to throw in the towel and quit. I would rather lose a little bit, you know, a percentage of the potential progress in order to help people adhere to it over the longer term. Hey, doggy, and end up getting, you know, getting the real benefits.
Go away, Douglas. You need to sort out your diet, don't you, mate? You're not eating anything at the moment. Cool. So we're looking at, if your starting point, get some good sleep, then start to look at calories in calories. Now, when I'm working with people, I always get them to send me like a food diary, essentially. Because one of the biggest things, like my wife was doing the same, like she was tired and lethargic and just like not feeling great. So she just actually just kept a three-day food diary, just not to do anything with, just to like, she was like, right, what am I eating? Where's my what? Because in her head, she was like, I'm eating pretty healthy. And then you suddenly see it and you suddenly go, well, I'm not actually getting anywhere near, say, my protein amount. And then I'm always hungry. So even though I think I'm snacking healthy, I'm basically eating like rice cakes and a bit of cheese for like, but I have like four of them at a time or something along those lines. And then you suddenly go, I've eaten I've eaten a whole bunch of calories of air, essentially, but no nutritional value whatsoever. And so doing a food diary, or just, you know, making everything you eat, you drop down, can be a great, like in the same way as like calorie counting. It's just a great way to be like, oh, that is what I'm eating and that's not what I'm eating. And like, I can now actually see where I need to change things.
Yeah. I have people track on an app, like, so I can see what they're doing in real time.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference. There's something called the Hawthorne effect, which is, it's like this specter behind every nutrition study, right? And it basically says that people behave differently when they know that they are being observed.
Okay.
So, you know, if it's why you'll see some studies that show a diet is great, and then when you let that diet loose in the real world, doesn't seem to have the same effects, because when people are left to their own devices, they behave differently, right? But the idea of keeping a journal, preferably sharing that journal with someone, is almost certainly going to lead to you making better choices without a huge amount of cognitive load on your part. You'll just sort of start doing the right things more often.
So which apps do you tend to use? Like MyFitnessPal or something like that?
So everyone I coach, we use MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not the app I use personally.
Yeah.
MyFitnessPal is great for fat loss, because it allows you to track macronutrients, protein, carbs, fat, and calories.
Yeah.
I use one called Chronometer because I'm a nerd. And Chronometer gives it deep. It tells you, you can track the kinds of amino acids you get.
Wow.
Every vitamin, every mineral, because I'm 50, and at this stage, and I'm lean enough, so fat loss isn't really what I'm trying to do at the moment.
Yeah,
I'm at a good weight, so I'm much more concerned with making sure I'm eating all the right stuff.
Yeah, and that's where I think that's where it can be. Again, I'm going to go back to what I hear on some of these people who are talking online, and they get into the weeds real deep about the micronutrients and the amino acids and blah, which obviously are very important.
Yeah.
But for someone to start a journey, that's not really where you want to be. Are you getting enough choline in your diet? Are you getting
majoring in minors is what that is. It's majoring in minor things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
No. So yeah, cool. So we've basically sleep, start hitting the protein, start counting your calories, monitoring them, seeing where you're going. And then, as you said, it's kind of like what's going to work for you in that caloric count, I guess. But within that, and I think this is one of the things I'm sure you as people know, listen to you, you went through the whole yogic world and scene and whatever else. Now, there's very much the idea of when I would go on retreats, there's clean eating and, you're all in... Which, yes, obviously, eating whole foods is definitely better than eating highly processed foods. But is there such a thing as healthy and non-healthy food/diets?
I would say from a dietary standpoint, yeah. There's definitely a good diet and a shitty diet.
Yeah.
But I would say it's really hard to demonize specific foods for the most part.
Yeah, that's
because you can have a good diet and still have that white chocolate blondie, and it's a good diet, right? It everything is context related when it comes to food. You know, for me, it's salt and vinegar potato chips, right? Not a healthy food, but I'd say my diet is pretty bang on, even with those in it. This idea of sort of a perfection, the perfect diet, is a myth.
Yeah.
Right. It's a specter that you should not pursue. That will lead you to madness. Mm-hmm. Right. The key is to find out a way to make your diet 80 to 90% good and 10 to 20% sort of shitty. And then you'll be happy.
Because I guess I was chatting to my dad about it, because he's just gone through an angiogram and he's having his heart checked out and whatever else. And they're talking about his cholesterol and all this sort of shit. And I was just, when you look at the let's say the blue zones, let's just jump to I'll come back to it in a minute, but let's go to the blue zones where everyone seems to be until they're in their 90s and, they've got way more centenarians and all this kind of stuff. They all drink, they all eat a whole bunch of food, which wouldn't necessarily be classed as being healthy at times, but yet they all live longer and whatever else. Because actually, if you, let's go back to what you were saying, if you're eating 80% of your diet as shit hot, really good, non-ultra processed food, blah, blah, blah. But then you go and have those little snacks and you go and have the little bits and pieces and you're actually happier because you're having some snacks. Exactly. Your actual... health is probably going to be better than if you had a shit hot 100% diet, but you were fucking miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be happier too.
Exactly.
Like,
and you're going to adhere to it more.
Look, if you want to go ahead and eat a 100% processed foods free diet, have at it. You're doing the absolute best thing for your health. But are you really gonna be happy?
Yeah.
You know, really gonna be happy living like that? I mean, maybe I wouldn't be. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, like, the one biggest thing in fitness and fat loss and all of this is what is practical is always going to win out over what is optimal.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, what was the one of the studies was I saw recently, or people talking about recently, was the idea. I think it might have been, fasting versus just caloric restriction, whatever else. And actually, the one that was best was the one that people stuck to and the one that worked best for them. So what you can adhere to is what works best for you. And that's, like you said at the beginning, it's so individual. But if your diet is what you do and you do the flexible dieting, awesome. If you want to go and do full carnivore and you just fucking love liver and meat, I mean, or testicles, if you're going down the full fucking Liver King style, because he was real.
Totally no drugs.
But yeah, definitely no drugs. But if that works for you, I guess then that's cool. But like, personally, I like to have a little treat every now and again. So,
because what is the most frustrating thing about fat loss for almost everybody is that it takes a fucking while.
Yeah.
If you're trying to lose fat, you gotta be prepared to put some time in the game.
So go on. How much time are we looking in the game? Let's just, like, as a ballpark, let's just go.
Okay. So in general, Depending on how much weight you have to lose, obviously the larger you are, the quicker you can go. And and as everybody knows, trying to lose that last 5 to 10 pounds is a motherfucker. let me do this in kilos. Gosh, I'm American now. So if you're losing let's make it really simple. If you're losing 0.5 to 1% of your body weight per week, you're doing awesome.
So if you weigh 60 kilos and you wanted to get to 55 for whatever reason, that's a big drop for someone at that weight.
Yeah, that's you're talking about someone small getting smaller.
Yeah, no, let's go bigger. Let's go 100 because let's round it up. 100
kilos, right?
100 kilos.
If you're 100 kilos
and you want to get to 90,
you want to see yourself losing between 0.5 kilo and 1 kilo a week, right? Mm-hmm. And the bigger you are, like, the more percentage of that is, for want of a better term, unhealthy weight, mm-hmm. the more rapid that's likely to take place.
Yeah.
And if you get down to, like, you know, that last, you know, 5 kilos, it's going to slow down.
Yeah. Right?
That's just how it is. But in general, you want to be in that, if we're talking 100 kilos, in that 0.5 kilo to 1 kilo per week range, probably for most people would be better off erring more towards the half.
Cool. Okay. One of the things that, again, we've kind of already mentioned, that the scales are not like not the best metric to necessarily go from. No, but
it's helpful, but you can't.
It is helpful, but also, so we've just bought a set of scales, and just because, I don't know really why, but we've never had some, but we decided to get some, and they apparently check your body. You know, the ones that scan your whole body. I'm pretty certain.
They don't.
Load of old shit. But the interesting bit for me has been weighing myself every morning.
Good. That's a way to do it.
Yeah. So what's really interesting is people will weigh themselves, like, sporadically, I guess, and they'll go, fuck, I've put on like a kilo in like a week. Now, on my little chart thing, because it just there's an app, and you can basically track like your weight. And how do I find the chart? And it's fascinating because my chart is all over the shop. There's some days I put on like a kilo and a half, and there's other days I lose a kilo and a half, and there's times I put on like half. And it's when you weigh yourself every day, suddenly you realize, like, it's a really interesting tool, because there's some people get obsessed with the scales, but actually weighing yourself daily for me was I'm not trying to lose weight. I don't need to lose weight, but I just thought it was really interesting to see what would happen with my weight. And it was amazing to watch myself go from being 81 kilos to 80 and a half to 79 to 81 again. And it was literally like this. And it's like, how much water is am I holding? You know, what was my fucking salt intake like yesterday or anything like that? And yeah, it was just, it's really, really interesting that I feel that if people have got scales, weighing themselves daily can be a really interesting way to suddenly take some pressure off you as to thinking that you're suddenly putting on a kilo and a half or something.
This is where you sort of have to once again, meet people where they're at, because there are some people that if they step on the scale and see that the scale's gone up, they have a very strong emotional response to it.
Yeah.
And for some people, daily weigh-ins, for some people that weighing in period is a bad idea. As weird as that may sound on a weight loss journey, but sometimes it could be so traumatic for people that they're better off not doing it.
Yeah.
But in general, the best approach to do weigh-ins is to weigh yourself every day. And then at the end of the week, take an average.
Yeah.
So if you weigh in seven times, you add those numbers together at the end of the week, divide by seven, and focus on a weekly trend, not a daily trend, because the fluctuations that can occur based on salt intake, carbohydrate intake, poop size, can be massive. You could go 1 to 2 kilos up overnight and stay there for a few days, and then all of a sudden it drops all off, and then you're lower than where you started, then you're back up, you go out of your mind.
So
you're able to be very dispassionate about the scale and just look at it as cold hard numbers, not an emotional judgment in any way, shape or form, then weigh in every day and do the average. It'll tell you what's really going on.
Cool. On that, just because you were the guy who recommended it to me, that it was decent. Now, we can get into the weeds about obviously salt and all sorts, but you were the guy who told me to actually try the Element salt sachet.
Yes.
Annoyingly, you can't buy it in the UK at the moment because of post-Brexit costs of getting it into the countries, like mental. So they've stopped shipping it to the UK. Firstly, like, I think certainly as a nurse, I spent a long time telling people that like too much salt is going to kill them. And it seems that from a lot of the research that I've looked at, not necessarily the case, it doesn't necessarily have a massive effect on blood pressure. But salt, why should people, let's say a supplement like Element, which is like a rehydration-y salt type thing. Why should people be looking potentially at something like that?
Well, hydration isn't just water, right? It's also bringing in electrolytes. And to be hydrated, you want to have a balance between electrolytes and fluid and the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then supplementation is just easier. And like too much salt is, once again, it's relative, right? Like if you're emptying like half a salt shaker on every meal, you're probably having too much fucking salt. If you're just doing like a little bit of salt here and there, it's not going to do you any harm at all. That most people, when it comes to all of this stuff, they're always looking at the extreme, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much salt. Yeah, if you're smashing it down with every meal, it's going to lead to some ill health outcomes. A little bit of salt here and there is going to be just fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I highly recommend, if anyone is looking to sort their hydration out, that if you can get it, then the Element thing is, they are tasty as fuck and like really good. My wife and I were both doing it, and we both felt a change, both felt a difference in our like cognitive function and like energies, like just general movement and feeling better just purely through taking a little sachet every morning.
Yeah, that was me, man. I suck at hydration. Like I'm really drinking enough water. Unless it has coffee in it. For me, that was a real game changer. Like you'll find this anytime you're lacking in something and you find a way to get that to an optimal level, you'll notice the difference.
And I guess that's what you've said earlier, is the idea of like what we're doing is essentially like a fake situation. And actually, if we can find a way to make all of that easier, whether it be through protein shakes, whether it be through these like element sachets or whatever else, they're also really good, guys. If you happen to have had a slightly heavy night the night before on the booze, you can maybe take one of those before you go to bed. It really does help you, your head feel slightly less shit in the morning.
Apparently, it's really good to make margaritas with too.
Oh yeah,
no, I've been told. Yeah, I mean, I'm really good with margaritas.
There you go. That's a little tip there for people.
But yeah, I mean, Phallos is an artificially created starvation situation, right? And anything you can do to help make that easier is to your benefit. So things like protein shakes. I'm a big fan of multivitamins for people.
I would just on that. Have you got any? Because that's something which personally I'm going to ask you just from my own perspective. Like I kind of feel like I want do something. Like, is there any multivitamins that you kind of are your go-tos, or like, you know, just something which hits most of the boxes? And
I like AG1, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
So that can be a joy, but AG1 has everything that you would need.
Does it? Yeah. I have seen that, and I've obviously hear it advertised by everyone. I was kind of a bit like, oh, I wonder if that's actually like worth, because I think I remember hearing, I want to say Brian McKenzie or maybe someone else saying that he hadn't thought they were quite as good as everyone else was saying they were. But, you know, I don't know.
No, I've heard that too. And you know, you sort of have to, with any kind of supplementation, you sort of have to buyer beware, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, every time I've got AG1, I haven't paid for it.
That's the way to do it. It's always the way to do it.
Yeah. So
get Andrew Huberman to hook you up, you mean?
Well, I have people in my band. Toby hooked me up with my last one. So
nice.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah. So, but it's, like I said, it's expensive. So honestly, like just take a fucking multivitamin, you know, like don't look for what's perfect.
Yeah. Look just for what's do something
affordable and convenient. Right.
Yeah, man.
You'll probably get something good out of it.
Nice. So if we're looking, and as you said, I mean, we're already smashing onto the hour, which is ridiculous. But if we just will briefly highlight, because then I kind of want to just briefly bring it into some kind of, even though we did briefly talk about, well, we did talk about exercise and stuff last time. But, you know, if people are getting their good sleep, that's obviously number one. Then on food, they start looking at getting protein dialed in, using things like protein shakes, working out roughly your caloric intake. So as you've kind of said, maybe somewhere around your ideal weight.
Yeah, goal body weight times 12. Good place to start.
Cool.
Yeah.
So once they've done that and they know roughly what their protein is going to be, which will be something around that, let's say 0.7 to 1 gram per kilo-esque type number, then they've kind of gone, oh, actually, cool. I'm just going to, like, I don't like carbs. So I'm just going to, like, fill up with, like, you know, fats and whatever else, or the vice versa or whatever. And they kind of they work out what they do with the other two macronutrients like that. We kind of get that. We kind of get someone beginning to lose weight, beginning to lose fat. Let's say it'll be weight, but let's say they're losing weight. But we won't want to lose strength. We don't want to lose muscle. So is there, like, is body weight worse than shifting weights around, you know, cardio versus, you know, blah, blah, blah. What if someone's on this journey, where would you recommend? They want to lose weight, but they want to, like, have a good shape.
They want to look jacked.
They want to look sexy as fuck.
They want to have muscle definition, right? That's sort of the thing, right? Like, there's all these euphemisms, you know, tone, jacked.
Yeah.
It's all, they're all saying the same thing, right? You want to have that sort of way you can see the muscle definition. It's strength training, like, which is counter to what most people have heard, which is like, if you're trying to lose weight, do a ton of cardio.
Yeah.
But strength training is actually by far the most important thing when you're on a weight loss journey, because once again, you want to support that muscle, right? That muscle is what gives you the shape. It's what moves you around, right? You want to be able to do stuff. Muscle's what moves you. And it's what's going to keep your metabolism high as your weight comes down. So when you get to your ideal weight, you're able to stay there, because as most people know, it's pretty common for people to go on a weight loss journey and then go on a weight gain journey right back up.
I think that's so common for so many people, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you maintain your muscle, and if you're just starting strength training, you can actually gain muscle while you're losing fat, which is
bonus.
Magical.
Yeah. And so would you find that as far as strength training, like doing a whole bunch, because, you know, people might be like, I can't afford the gym. I don't like the gym, but like I can work out at home. I'm going to fit, but I can do some body weight stuff. So is that as efficient?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. The key is you want to find exercises that really challenge your muscles. So you're working really hard and you want to work the whole body. If you are someone who wants to train at home, you're going to run out of road pretty quick with zero equipment.
Yeah.
Because there's certain parts of your body that it's really hard to train. Like, it's really hard to train your back, hard to train your biceps without some kind of equipment. So low investment equipment, you could get some bungees.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to go.
A cheap TRX ripoff, like,
I would say 30 quid. TRX is probably, I would say gymnastic rings is by far the best piece of home workout equipment if you have the space to hang them.
Mm-hmm.
Because gymnastic rings are great for beginners. And I never met anyone who's too strong for gymnastic rings.
Nah.
You know what I mean? If you're busting out iron crosses, you probably, weight loss isn't a problem for you. But a TRX is a fantastic sort of middle ground. They're not that expensive. And
hang them in your door.
Fantastic full body workout with a TRX. For most of the clients that I coach at home, if they have a couple of kettlebells and a TRX, they're set forever.
Yeah.
Like, you can get very functionally strong. You can support, you know, muscle while you're losing fat and get really functional, for want of a better term, right? Yeah. Those pieces of equipment, they don't take up a lot of space. They'll last you forever. It's all you need. That being said, if you are someone who wants to go to the gym, for some people, they need that third place. You know, you've got work, you've got home, you need somewhere else to go to, you know, feel like you're having a fuller life.
It holds you to account as well, potentially. If you're paying for a gym membership, you might be like, right, I'm actually going to go and use it.
People just like the gym, you know, you like being around other people that are training. It gets you out of the house.
You can do that in the mirror. Do that in the mirror, check your triceps out.
You got the good lighting, so you look jacked.
Yeah.
You know, you got some people are like, you know, working out can be social for some people.
Yeah,
some
definitely.
But big picture, you have to be pushing your muscles close to limit 2 to 3 times a week.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
If you do that and you keep your workouts to 45 to 60 minutes, you don't have to spend hours in the gym, right? And then you get lots of basic activity throughout the day. There's sort of this gold standard of 10,000 steps. Yeah. It's a made up number, but I like it anyway. It's
nice and round.
Yeah, nice round number. And it takes a little bit of work to get there, right?
Yeah.
If you get 10K steps, you're probably going to have to take a couple of walks to get the numbers up a day. Or if you've got a dog, take him for a longer walk. That's really all you need.
I always think, for me, like, walking is such a simple bonus for, like, do you know what I mean? The amount of people who only have like 2 or 3,000 steps on their pedometer a day, and you say hit 10, just do something to hit 10, and you're probably adding another potentially 300 calories over the course of a day purely through just going for an extra long walk.
It doesn't take it out of you. You don't feel beat up, which is great for heart health.
You've got all of the benefits of being outside, taking in nature, like big open, as Andrew Huberman likes to talk, you know, taking in the whole, like, panoramic views and sunlight, depending what time of day it is. And
I mean, it's not that hard to get your steps up if you take proactive measures. You know, park your car further away from the office.
Take the stairs
instead of the elevator, right? Like, just focus on moving more and strength training 2 to 3 times a week. You don't need to do long cardio sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, what is practical is always going to trump what is optimal, right?
Yeah.
So you understand, people have jobs that they can't spend 2 hours a day doing cardio. It's just not realistic. So,
and it sucks, doesn't it? Like, I'm kind of getting into running these days, but like, I keep thinking, like, since I've last spoken to you, I tried running Hadrian's Wall. I managed 50 miles on the first day, which, and I was supposed to do
50 mile run.
Yeah. My plan was to do 50 and then 40, but I didn't do any training. I just like, I'd never run more than 14 miles before. And I just thought, I'll be all right. I'll be fine. So I did 20 miles of it running through Newcastle barefoot. And then I did the last 30 miles in my Luna sandals.
Dude, that's now, fantastic.
I really enjoyed that. But if you were to say to me, I want you to go and run for 2 hours every morning or you know, I can't be asked. 45 minutes is enough. And I enjoy running. But like 45 minutes a day is like, that feels like enough. Any more than that, I'm just, and if I'm going to do more than that, I have to leave at like 4 a.m. because I don't want it to eat into my day. So 2 hours of fucking working out of cardio a day is just, you know, and it's now whether or not you can fill this in, because maybe I'm making this up, but I don't think I am. I'm pretty certain I learned this in my PT thing. But if you're doing weights rather than cardio, yes, you're burning the calories at the time that you've done it, but actually then you'll continue to burn more calories throughout the day as your brain, as your body is so, like through muscle synthesis and stuff.
So as I mentioned earlier, your body builds muscle post-workout, not during the workout. And that process takes calories and takes energy. And but back to your point about running, like running is often touted as like the first type of exercise someone should do when they're trying to lose weight. Running is hard.
Yeah, man.
Running is hard on the body. Like, especially if you're somebody that's not training. Now, you were able to run out and bang out 50 miles because you're in good shape already.
Exactly. 100%. Like I have a baseline of like, bearing in mind, I do nothing but like do weird breath hold work and whatever else. And my respiratory work is like through the roof.
Yeah. And but, you have good mobility.
Yeah. But my problem was, even at that, I hit 50 miles and my feet and my knees were fucked. Like I could bang out half a marathon probably every day of the week. But doing, even, you know, me who I live my life doing exercise and doing anything like that, like doing a big amount of running just destroyed my feet and my knees.
50 miles are unnatural distance.
Yeah, you know, completely unnatural.
Artificial distance, right? Like, there's nowhere in human history we would have been like, yo, we got to go bang out a 50 miler.
Exactly.
Not something we've done, but it's sort of this thing that we've just decided.
And also, weirdly, when you look at the research and you look at the ultra marathon runners, their hearts are fucked. Their hearts are not in good shape at all.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's a certain, like, I always like to look at like how do other animals do it, right?
Yeah.
Animals, like, for the most part, they have two gears. They're moving slow, but they're constant, right?
Yeah.
They're going fast as fuck because they're trying to catch something or get away from something. So for health, I think staying in those two sort of extremes, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to do some kind of cardio, if you are someone who likes to run and going short but fast, probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Probably pretty good. Once again, like, if you want to run a marathon, we're having a different discussion. That's an artificial objective, right?
Yeah.
But for health, for being, you know, for humaning, right? Go, keep moving slow and occasionally sprint.
Yeah. You see, and that's perfect. I kind of feel like that's a really good way to wind this up, is like health and fitness. I kind of have this point in quite a few of my podcasts, but health and fitness are very different things.
Very different.
And what we need to do is start to get people to realize, like, you can be fucking healthy as shit without having to be mental fit.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a point. Yeah, absolutely. No, I was going to say, there's a point where they, you know, you want to have like the perfect joining of the both, but people feel that they need to be going and doing insane like fitness things or whatever else to be healthy. And actually, you can be healthy with going for some really good like walks and doing some like good level, you know, whatever it's level two cardio, you know, some just gentle little bit of like fucking sprinting, get some good sleep, some good nutrition, you're going to be a healthy person. Like lift some weight, just lift some shit, like carry some shit. Like that's going to be make you a healthy human being.
There's a point where health and fitness are, they're co-joined.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, they diverge, right? And a lot of people will sacrifice health at the altar of fitness.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, it really depends on what your goal is, right? Like if your goal is to stand on the podium with the gold medal on, you probably have to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Right? If you have to be unhealthy to be that fucking fit.
You have to sacrifice health. Like a pro bodybuilder is unhealthy.
Yeah. You know, despite like, them looking okay, let's say even if they're natural.
Yeah, still unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know? If the people that you look at on Instagram with the super low body fat, that, you know, that some of these women, they don't have menstrual cycles anymore.
No.
It's over. They've compromised their health to that degree. Some of these guys and I'm talking about, not even talking about the drug side of it, which is obviously extremely prevalent.
Yeah.
Are in chronic pain, joint pain. So health and fitness to a point should be the same thing. Right. Yeah. And I'll call myself up on my bullshit. Like I'll try and do things that a 50-year-old man shouldn't be doing, and they end up leading to pain. But
this is the same thing for me. So I can't remember who I discussed this with, but for me, it's the same thing. So I like free diving. So I like holding my breath for a stupid amount of time. Now I know that me holding my breath for 5 minutes is not a healthy thing to do. Like, i.e., like that much apnea, not probably the best for your brain, but I really enjoy it and I'm fully aware of the risks. So therefore I'm happy to balance that out. But at the same time, like you say, like doing a little bit of breath holding could be really fucking healthy for you.
Yes.
So, you know, always that balance.
Yeah, exactly. Like help, do not sacrifice your health to get fitter. And do not sacrifice your happiness to chase some artificial idea, right, of what you should look like.
Love that.
Right? You can have it all. You can be healthy. You can be happy. Maybe you won't look like the cover of the magazine, but the person on the cover of the magazine may not have their health and happiness. So I think you're winning.
And the person on the cover of the magazine probably doesn't look like the person on the cover on the magazine when they're not photoshopped.
No, they probably look like that. Like, it's funny. Like, so when I have conversations with new clients, there's always, you know, this sort of, what do you want to look like? Where do you want to take this? Right. And that you, the big archetype for guys is Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
In Snatch or Fight Club.
Yeah.
And you know, for the ladies, it's Wonder Woman or it's Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Right? These people didn't, like, Brad Pitt looked like that for maybe an hour or two.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe an hour or two, you know, because, you know, and now everyone thinks that he's been immortalized. Everyone thinks that's how he looks all the time. It's not. Like, to look like that, to have that kind of appearance requires dieting down to, you know, the gram of salt.
And then also probably dehydrating yourself to shit to like have the perfect, like,
felt like shit when he did that. I mean, looks fucking savage, but,
but know, he felt like, savage as well, I reckon. Yeah,
don't believe the hype. Like,
yeah, man.
Nobody lives like that year round. Nobody looks like that year round.
No. Amazing. Well, Adam, thank you so much for making this so obvious and simple, even though it's obviously a very individual, can be complicated subject, but there's some really simple standard things that people can try.
Just focus on the principles, you know, the big picture. Eat fewer calories than you burn, move around more, get better sleep, lift some weights a couple of days a week, and you're good. Like, anyone that tries to tell you that there's one answer to the fat loss problem is
carnival.
Trying to sell you something. You know, they're marketers, right? I mean, I get it. Like, but the truth is that there's the right way to do it is the way that's right for you.
Perfect.
So long as you adhere to those big principles.
Amazing. Well, Adam, thank you again so much. And I really can't wait until H2O get back onto UK shores so we can hang out and I can jump neither, around man. On stage with you.
Me neither. Can't wait. Too long.
And next time you come over as well, I'll get you to, as well as a kettlebell when you bring over, I'll get you to bring over some element for me so I can...
Yeah. For real, if you want me to mail you some, just send me a message. We'll figure it out.
I'll send you.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Fiber. I'm sure they'll send me another box if I ask.
Nice. All right, mate. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Cheers, buddy. Bye.
All right, dude. How was it? Was it good?